All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father God, I ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in this next talk right here, Father God, challenge these young people. Father God, challenge these adults that work with these young people, Father God, that it's time we must stand up. We must stand out. We must stand out in our schools. We must stand out everywhere we go for you, Father God, and we must stand strong. And Father, the time is now. Father God, speak to me very bold, very clear. Holy Spirit, be in here. Change some hearts as only you can do. Man cannot change hearts. That 1,200 of us, including the speaker today, walks out of here different than they walked in. And Father, we thank you for it, and we ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nice and quietly, please. Everybody stand to your feet. Nice and quiet, please. Okay, listen to me. A current study I just read said that 80% of Christian youth, 80% of you will walk away from church and go to church no more once you turn 18 years old. 80% of you are walking away. Okay? That section there, sit down for me nice and quiet, please. This section here, sit down nice and quiet for me, please. This section here, sit down nice and quiet for me, please. Okay? Read another study, young people, that 88% of you will give up Jesus Christ by your senior year in college. 88% of you will ditch Jesus by your senior year in college. Okay? Last row, sit down for me. Second to last row, sit down. Third to last row. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. The guy in the white hat right there on the corner, you, young man, you sit down, and everyone else stays standing. 88% of you, well, that row can sit down too. Thank you. It's good obedience. I like that. Thank you. And just read one more study, young people, okay? And this study said that 4% of Christian youth today, 4%, will still serve the Lord Jesus Christ as an adult. 4% of you. All right? Next row, sit down for me. The next row, blue shirt, sit down for me. Gentleman in the jacket, sit down for me. Your whole row, sit down. Okay? Basically, out of this whole group, 40 of you right here will keep your faith as an adult and serve Jesus Christ. Every other person in this room is walking away from Jesus Christ in the coming years. Every single one of you. All right? You folks sit down for me, please. Nice and quiet. Okay? Let's be honest. I need you to raise some hands up for me. Okay? Tell me why you're going to walk away from Jesus Christ in the coming years. Because you already know why you're going to do it. I want to see who's got enough guts to raise their hand up and be honest with me and with the group. Why will you walk away from Jesus Christ in the coming years? Okay? Raise your hand up. Okay? Over there real quick.
Easier.
Because it's easier to what?
To not have to deal with always being faithful to God.
It's easier sometimes when you don't have a standard to meet up with. Is that correct? That is correct. That's what you're saying. So if I don't have the standard in front of me, it's easier just to live this life, do it any way that I want to. And then hopefully at the end of it, right, I can get back right with Jesus Christ at the end. Is that correct? That's correct. A friend of mine, Saran Stacy, you folks know of him, the football player at Alabama, and what happened just a month or so ago. Just a few months before that, we were speaking at a prison together. Got to meet him for the first time. We hit it off well, man. What a nice, nice, bold man of God. But he was driving home one night, wasn't he? And went through an intersection one night, wasn't he? And a drunk driver ran a red light, hit his van. Wife, what happened to his wife? Dead. What happened to four of his children? Dead. One four-year-old girl still lives, and he still lives. His family was wiped out just like that, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Is that correct? Thank you for your honesty. We'll take it right to him right there, okay? Tell me why you're going to walk away.
Because only 4% are standing up for Christ.
Say it again?
Because only 4%, like you said, are only standing up for Christ. So only we're a culture built on majority.
Because our culture, think about that for a second. Because I will also tell you this, that many young people who say they follow Jesus Christ as young people really aren't following Jesus Christ. Is that correct? You're called a false convert. You're faking people out, young people. You're faking your parents out. You're faking your youth pastor out. But there's one person you cannot fake out. What's his name? Jesus Christ. You can't fake him out. Game's up. Game has got to get up now, okay? Because if you don't get the game up now, I'm telling you, there's trouble coming up down the road. I see it all the time. False converts, man, it's killing you. You hate this. You're checking off your list. I went to the Scott Dawson conference. You check off your list, okay? I read my Bible once this month. You check off your list all these little things. This isn't about a list. This is either Jesus Christ is the right answer or he's not the right answer, okay? Hands up. Tell me a few more reasons. Why are you walking away? Give me a microphone back there in the back right there. Young people, I just spoke at a church. A 20-year-old girl walked up to me. I spoke at her Christian high school. So Christian high school, how many of you go to Christian high schools here? Oh, not a lot at all. Okay. We should probably be ahead of the game because, you know, we study the Bible every day and do all that stuff. She looked at me and said, 20 years old, watch what she said to me. Every single one, 100% of my friends have walked away from Jesus Christ after 2 years of high school. 100%. She's the only one sticking with her faith. Think about this. Why?
Ashamed.
Say that.
Because they're ashamed.
I didn't hear that.
Ashamed.
Ashamed. We're ashamed of what we believe. Grab your Bibles for me, please. Go into the book of Romans. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Go to Romans chapter 1. Who knows what verse I'm looking for? Go to Romans chapter 1. Go to verse 16 for me. If you don't know where something's at in your Bible, you fumble around till you find it. If you don't know where something's at in your Bible, you ask the person next to you. If you don't know where something's at in your Bible, you go to the table of contents and find it. Is it okay not to know where something's at in the Bible? Yes, it is. You just go find it. I never opened up a Bible. Never opened up a Bible until my second year of college. Never opened up one. Trust me, that's a weird feeling, open up this book and not know where anything is at, okay? You fumble around till you find it, you ask for help, and never feel weird about that, okay? Romans chapter 1, going to verse 16. For I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the... Excuse me? No, what? Oh, I did read that wrong, didn't I? I went to Auburn. That was my fault there. For I am what? Not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation. It is the power unto salvation. I just got a phone call 10 minutes ago from Albert Pujols. You know who Albert Pujols is? The baseball player, St. Louis Cardinals. He just called me up. We became friends a while back. And the thing we talk about all the time is not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to work out this morning. Okay, to stay in shape as he's a baseball player, all this stuff. But I challenge him to boldly share his faith and witness to people when he's out there working out and stuff like that. He called me from Chicago earlier this year. He witnessed to a guy when he was working out. He overheard Albert witnessing to someone else. Isn't that sometimes when we're quiet, when we know people are listening to us? We get kind of coward. We get in a little shell for a second. Albert doesn't do that. He speaks louder. The gentleman came over and says, excuse me. He said, I don't have what you've got. They began to talk, began to witness. The gentleman just sold his business for $300 million. See, you'd love that. But you can be 50 years old with $300 million and have no clue what this life is about. Is that correct? Correct? Anybody see the Tom Brady interview on 60 Minutes? Fascinating. Get on the internet and watch the interview. He just said in an interview, on 60 Minutes Sunday night. He has 3 championship rings. He's got a baby. He's got a supermodel for a girlfriend. And he asks the question, is this all there? Isn't there more to this life than this? You're about to go undefeated, maybe get a 4th Super Bowl, and you're at, isn't there more to this life? Folks, isn't there more to this life? There's so much more to this life, and you can't buy the lie of what Satan's going to say, that you're going to choose the wrong avenue in the coming days. Someone raise a hand up. Tell me why you're going to walk away. So many of you are going to walk away. And you know what you parents should be doing right now? I did this to 300 kids at a place, and as soon as I asked the question for this, all of a sudden 10 to 15 hands went up. And do you know what? Adults who work with kids, they were stunned. They didn't even know their kids were thinking about why they're going to walk away from this. I'm telling you, they're going to ditch this unless we do something to change this real quick. Hands up. Give me 2 more reasons why we're walking away. Young man right there with the silver chain on right there. Get a mic to him real quick. Yeah, stand up right there. That's you right there. Yep, you. Yep, microphone's right there. Or scream at me, either one.
It's easier to blame God.
To blame God, for example, what do you mean?
When you have troubles in your life, it's a lot easier to blame God.
When you have trouble in your life, it's almost always easier to blame God. Go to the book of James. Go forward in your New Testament. Go towards the end of the New Testament. As you get towards the end of the New Testament, Revelations is the last book. The next biggest book before that is Hebrews. Right after Hebrews is the book of James. Go to James chapter 1. It is easy to point the finger at God so many times. James chapter 1, go to verse 13. I just read this morning, actually. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of who? God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he, me, is drawn away by his own lust, my own choices, okay, and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, that sin that you like so much, it will come to a finish at some point if you stay in that sin. God always gives you time to repent, young people, me included. If you choose not to repent, turn, walk away, come back to the cross, the sin will finish. And when it finishes, it says it right there, it bringeth forth what? Death. Death. It gives you plenty of time to walk away from this sin. But if you choose not to do that, one of the biggest answers I always get from young people when I ask these questions is, you don't know this is true. You don't know if the Bible is true. You don't know if Jesus Christ is truth. Be honest with me. How many people have ever thought about, you read the Bible here, Islamic people read the Quran, the Mormons read the Book of Mormon. Have you ever wondered if those other books could be true? Raise your hand if you ever wondered if those other books could be true. Be very honest with me, okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, hands down. Be honest with me on this question. If you've ever thought about, could there be other ways to heaven? Could a good person in Hinduism, could a good person in Islam go to heaven? And it's just not Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Be honest, okay? If you've ever thought about that, raise your hand up. Be honest, okay? All right, hands down. Go to the book of John, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You wrestle with the same question that Pontius Pilate wrestled with. Go to John chapter 18. And go to verse 38. He has such a simple question. Because sometimes the simplest of questions are the best questions. Verse 38 says, and Pilate saith unto him, what is what? Truth. The same question you asked 2,000 years later is the exact same question Pontius Pilate was asking in the verse before, where he was basically questioning Jesus Christ when he was brought before him, okay, when he said he found nothing wrong with him. What is truth? All Pontius Pilate had to do was to read the book of John and just back up one chapter. The problem is he didn't have it, okay? Back up to John chapter 17. Go to verse 17. John 17, 17. Watch what it says in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. For thy word is what? Folks, you've had truth here for 2,000 years. This book is so easy to prove to be true. I did it in one of my books. I've had people tell me they've read that chapter in the book. They had no clue that this book was truth of God. They read that one chapter. They now know it's truth. Okay? Because it comes down to this book. Because you're either going to chase the things of the world. Some of you are more excited about getting out of here today and going over to some NASCAR park and drive these little go-karts around and stuff like this. Go to some arcade today. Go back to your hotel room. Plug in your little video game. Okay? And waste your time on things of the world that have nothing to do with Almighty God. But yet, one of these conferences I came to a couple years ago, one youth group got so excited, they went to the NASCAR park. Okay? And as they walked around that NASCAR park, all they did was get out there and get in conversations about who? Jesus Christ, witnessed the people. They came back that night with stories and stories and stories. So you don't have to go to the outlet mall and hang out. You can go there and hang out for the Lord Jesus Christ and strike up some conversations and talk with people, okay? Think about this, all right? The Bible says one of the big reasons you're going to walk away from this is because you're not a doer of the word. You hear but not do. You don't go work at homeless shelters. You don't go visit orphans and widows. You do not go out and share your faith because you're not active in your faith. You will rot in your faith. I played college basketball. It's very simple. I can talk basketball all day long, but if I don't get out there and practice and get out there and shoot and spend the time to do it, trust me, you lose your skills. Is that correct? That's correct. Watch Michael Jordan the third time he came back. He came back a lot, didn't he? The third time he came back versus any other time. He was not even close to the same player. Is that correct? Wasn't even close to it. All right? His skill level was not the same because if you don't use it the same way, you lose that skill level. Okay? Go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Okay? First book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew 4. Go to verse 19. It was so good to walk in here last night. I know the guys, Leland, I met him a couple months ago in St. Louis, and we were chatting. But as we were chatting last night, one of the things I challenged them with was to make sure on their plane flights today, they play in California tonight, is to make sure they're taking their time sharing their faith and being bold for Jesus Christ. And actually, Jack, Leland's brother that's in the band over here on the guitar, he asked and said, would you pray for us that we would have this boldness and have this stand up there? Because it's not good enough just to travel and do your concerts for Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Correct? Yeah, it's not good enough just to come to your conference. It's not good enough just to travel and speak like I do. We got to serve the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we're at. Think about this. Matthew chapter 4, go to verse 19. Verse 19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you a great high school basketball star. Correct? Come follow me. And I'll make you a 4.0 student who gets a 1600 on your SAT or whatever the number is anymore, okay? So you can get the right scholarship to college. Come follow me. And I'll make you the most popular person in your school. Hey, come follow me. And I'll make you a multimillionaire. You can believe in this prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and get all that you want. He never says that because it has nothing to do with Christianity. He says, come follow me. And I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Young people and adults, do you know the highest call in life is to fish for men? And folks, it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 50, it's the highest call in life. I know a 17-year-old young man, him and his buddies stand outside the casinos in Reno, Nevada, and they witness the people who walk in and walk out of the casino. 17, him and 8 to 10 of his friends. They do it all these weekends back in Reno because they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know the people who are going in there, and you're going to casinos because you love what? You love money, and you want what? More of it, and more of it, and more of it. They go out there and reach people on the streets and do it because he's a 17-year-old boy that so loves the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing's going to stop him from being bold. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about it, the go-kart thing today, asking a person, hey, can I ask you an interesting question? You're into a conversation just like that. If you die tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven? You will get in conversations like you can't believe when you do something like that. Hey, by the way, can I ask you an interesting question? When you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? People absolutely love that question, okay? But guess what? They give you answers to that question. Hey, can I ask you a question? Have you ever taken the good person test before? And people go, no, okay, well, actually, okay, here we go. And just take them right to the Ten Commandments. You ever told a lie before? Yep, what's it make you? A liar. Ever stole something before? What's it make you? A thief. Walk them right through the Ten Commandment test. I did that with a lady at a hotel one day. You ever taken the good person test before? She said, no, but I'll probably fail. And she did. And once she failed the test, we gave her the answer. Who's the answer, by the way? See, Jesus Christ was the answer to the test. Last night at the hotel I checked in. How many people have witnessed of someone at your hotel share with them the truth about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, sin, and the judgment to come? If you've witnessed to one person at your hotel so far, raise your hand up. One, two, okay? If you've witnessed to one person at this event center, someone that's serving you your Dippin' Dots, okay, or someone that's cleaning the restrooms, okay, or someone that's working in the visitor information, if you've witnessed to one person since you've been at this event center, raise your hand up for me. Okay? Let me ask you a question, young people and adults. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Do you know I made it through 4 years of high school and I never had one Christian ever witness to me in 4 years of high school? Young people, what were you waiting on? I had a car accident at 17 where I ate the windshield. The kind you die from. And not one of you Christian kids that go to your little Wednesday night churches and your Sunday churches and go to your little conference or whatever walk in my life and share your faith. What are you waiting on? Can you walk out of here as teenagers? Yes or no? Can you die as teenagers? Yes or no? What about the kids that were just in the zoo you heard that story in the zoo a couple days ago, San Francisco. Tiger got out of the cage. Tiger killed. 20-year-old young man, mauled him to death. Killed him. They just had the zoo. Mauled an 18-year-old boy, 19-year-old boy. They're both living right now. But just like that, in an instant of time, they're off into eternity. And the question is, one, do you know where you're going? But two, who are you bringing with you? That's what we're talking about. Are you going to be bold enough to do that? I was in downtown Atlanta. I was meeting a friend for lunch. And I walked up to this hotel. As I walked up to the hotel, There was a group outside the hotel, and I looked at the group real quick, and one of the persons in the group was a gentleman by the name of Kanye West. Have you heard of Kanye West before? Heard of Kanye? Yes or no? Yes, okay. He was standing with a group outside the hotel. So when he was standing there, did I walk to him or did I walk away from him? Which one? Folks, we've walked away from enough people on planet Earth. We need to start walking to people, okay? I walked over to his group. I pulled some tracks out of my pocket. I said, hey, fellas, did you get one of these? Start handing these tracks out. Did you get one of these? Start handing them out. One guy looked. He said, hey, what is that? I said, it's a ticket to heaven. And one guy looked at me and said, man, he said, I need one of those. I said, really? I said, do you believe there's a heaven? He said, yeah. I said, believe there's a hell? He said, yeah. And so we start talking. And we start talking about near-death experiences, about heaven and hell. And I looked at Kanye. I said, here's how to tell which place you go. I said, you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? They all said, yeah. I said, you ever told a lie before? They said, yep. I said, what does that make you if you tell a lie? Kanye West didn't even hesitate. He blurts out. He says, a liar. I said, you ever stole something before? He said, yes, I have. I said, what does that make you if you steal something? He said, a stealer. I said, well, no, not really. Makes you what? A thief. He was a rapper. I'm trying to help him with his English as he works on his next album. And I said, it's a thief, okay, not a stealer. And I said, you ever lusted in your heart before? He said, yeah. I said, Jesus Christ said the same as committing adultery. He checks your insides as well as outsides. I said, have you ever been angry with somebody before? He said, yes, I have. I said, Jesus Christ said anger without cause is the same as committing what? Murder. Hatred for someone is the same as murder. Last year, I was in Birmingham on death row in Birmingham talking with inmates, and I met murderers. Every murder I have ever met, anger first, shot and killed their wife over something. Anger first, knifed and killed a buddy over something, okay? Because it's always inside that leads to outside. I said, Tiger, I said, Kanye, you said, you just told me about that statement. You're a liar, a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer. So would you be guilty or not guilty on Judgment Day? They all said guilty. I said, would that mean heaven or would that mean hell? They said hell. I said, do you know what it takes to make sure that you don't go to hell? And the answer was what? No, I don't know. But we shared with him, that's exactly what repentance in Jesus Christ. Okay, super 10 to 15 minute talk. One guy wanted an MP3 of a book, gave it to him. Another guy wanted my book, gave it to him. Let him go. A few months later, what happened to Kanye West? His mama died. Okay, I got on the internet and started digging up about this guy to see what I can find out. 4 to 5 years ago, he had a very bad car accident. Really, really bad car accident. Then it says in this entry on the computer that after that, he became born again. See, folks, anybody can say they're born again, right? Yes or no? Anybody can say it, but I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to watch you not just one night. I'm going to watch you if you're a friend of mine. I'm going to watch you for a stretch of time, a good year. I'm going to watch you, Because if you're a Christian, you shall know them by their what? Their fruits. It's the most obvious thing in the world. My high school buddies look at me and they look at me and said, dude, you are so different. Let me tell you something. I am so different from my high school days, okay? Because you can't deny and take away that fruit and do that. On Christmas Eve, I called this guy up, Jim Ferdula. I met Jim a couple years ago in an airport. Everybody sit up nice and straight in your seats for me, please. Young man right there, make sure that guy's awake right there. Thank you. Head up for me. Okay, that's all right. Not mad at you. I just want to make sure you pay attention, okay? I was in this airport. I was in the security line at this airport, two-hour security line. I was not happy. I was not happy, okay? The guy standing next to me, not only did he not like Christians, he hated hypocrites, and he was bigger than I was. So this was not going to be a fun 2 hours in my life, okay? So I decided to witness to the guy a little bit, began to witness to him. At the end of the witnessing, we're 2 hours talking. He loves sports. We talk sports, too. I ended up giving a book I wrote called One Heartbeat Away. We go through security, everything. Finally, I get back to Atlanta. I start checking my messages. I have a message from Jim on my phone. I'm checking this. Hey, Mark, this is Jim. You stood next to me in the security line. You gave me your book, One Heartbeat Away. He said, let me tell you something, man. He said, I don't like to read, man, but I cannot put this book down. He said, thank you so much for talking to me and giving me this book. Well, I keep checking my messages. He calls me again from a different airport, okay? Hey, Mark, this is Jim Ferdula. I was the guy standing next to you on the plane line. He said, listen to me. He said, I cannot put your book down. All right. He said, matter of fact, I've only read two books in my entire life. All right. Undoubtedly a University of Alabama graduate. And you can get a degree with that, folks. And so I've only read two books in my life. He said they were both on baseball. OK. He said, I cannot put your book down. He said, would you please get a hold of me? Left me his number. Well, I got a hold of him. We've stayed in touch now for a little over a year now. All right. I called him on Christmas Eve to see how he was doing, to see if he was ready to become born again and say, we start talking, plant a seed with him again. He just loves the chat. Bingo, done. He calls me 2 hours later. He said, Mark, I need to tell you a story. I said, what? He said, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine. He said, I have this friend I need to tell you about. He tells people about Jesus Christ. You'd love the book by this guy. And his other friend on the phone says this to him. He said, wait a minute. He said, a couple of months ago, I was sitting on an airplane flight next to this guy, and he told me about Jesus Christ. His name was Mark, and the guy said, Mark Cahill? He said, Mark Cahill. Listen to me, folks. The dude I witnessed to 2 years ago in an airport has a best friend that I was sitting next to on a flight just a couple months ago going somewhere in this world, okay? And God put all that. Do you see what our God did? Put all this together. So see, when you serve a God like that, every day is a thrill. You don't know what he's going to put before you if you'll make this stand for Christ and stand up and stand out and finish this race strong and stand up for that, okay? Think about this real quick as we do this. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Romans, okay? Book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans again. Go to Romans 13 on this one. As I was saying earlier, it's great when I came in last night to see some of you young people sitting on the sides out here reading your Bibles during intermission, reading books. Folks, to be a leader, you got to be a reader. To be a leader, you got to be a reader. You got to soak your mind with good stuff. If you don't soak your mind with good stuff, the enemy's going to come to you through movies, through TV, through video games, through iPods. He's going to grab your mind. And once he gets your mind, he'll get your heart. They end up going together. Okay? To be a leader, you got to be a reader. Okay? Go to Romans 13. Go to verse, let's look at verse 11. Romans 13. Go to verse 11. And that knowing the time. Folks, you got to know what the time is. How many people play sports in here back at school? How many play sports? Okay. A bunch of us, okay. If you're playing a basketball game and there's 2 minutes left in the game and you're down by 8 points, you need to do what? You need to pick the pace up, right? You put in a full court press. You may have to foul. You may have to walk out, but you pick the pace up because time's running out. It says in the book of Revelations that Satan knows the time is what? Short. He knows the time is short. And when the time is short, you turn the heat up. You turn it up a little bit more to pull someone else away, to stop those young people from boldly sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. You turn the heat up. Okay, but see, if we know the time is short, we pick the pace up and can't wait for this session to be over with, so we can walk out those doors and get out into this world, all right, and let our light shine before people and do that, okay? I checked in the hotel last night, and a lady behind the counter, we just started chit-chatting, talking. Her name was Pat, and I said, Pat, I heard this is a pretty religious area, a lot of church stuff around here. She said, yeah. She's a kind of Bible belter. So I said, okay. I said, so did you grow up to any type of church? She said, yeah. She said, I'm Catholic. I said, oh, okay, interesting. As a Catholic, what do you think happens when you die? She said, oh. She said, heaven and a purgatory. Isn't she missing at least one thing out of that? Yeah, what is she missing? See, because if you believe just it's a purgatory in heaven, that means you can go through your life and do what? Anything you want to. And still go to purgatory, which means to be cleansed of your extra sins in Catholicism, and then go to heaven. I said, well, wait a minute, isn't there a hell? She said, yeah, for some people. Okay? Which means who? Not her is what it means, okay? For some people, you know, the real bad ones. I said, so what do you think separates who gets heaven or who gets hell? She said, oh, that's easy. God is going to weigh out your good and your bad deeds. Is that a true statement? When anyone ever says that to me, 9 out of 10 times, I look back and say, oh, excuse me. I said, are you Muslim? That's what I say to them. And they look at me really strange. I said, what do you mean am I Muslim? This is what Islam believes. You have an angel on one shoulder, writes down every good deed that you do. Angel on the other shoulder writes every bad deed you do. They literally get flopped on a weighing scale. You've seen weighing scales before? Flop them. If it tilts towards good, you get paradise. Tilts towards bad, you get hellfire. Okay? And she didn't see that. She said, no, I'm not Islamic. I said, here's the standard on whether which place you can go to. It's called the Ten Commandments. I walked her straight through the Ten Commandments. Pat did not take her eyes off me the entire time. She was hungry for truth. Explain the cross. I spent 26 years in Catholicism. Okay, when you finally understand it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, justified by faith, not one single work can add to that cross. Is that correct? Oh, that's correct. When you finally understand it, you realize this is it. There's nothing else but Jesus Christ, and he rose from the dead to prove who he was. All right? That's what you... She didn't take her eyes off me. She loves to read one of my books to explain this to her, because that's what we got to get out there, is reach out and plant, because the time is short. Watch where we go. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. Yes, you were like me this morning. You did not like when that alarm clock went off, okay? You don't like that. Okay, I don't like that. But it's time we as Christians awake. Yes or no, correct? A little bit louder. Yes or no, correct? We got to wake up, young people. This isn't about who you're going to homecoming with, who you're going to prom with. Is your team going to be undefeated? God checks none of that stuff when you die. Checks none of that stuff when you die. Columbine High School, when it was shot up a few years ago, when Eric Harris walked in the building and Dylan Klebold and shot it up, they came back outside the building. And one of the people laying on the ground outside the building was a young lady by the name of Rachel Scott. She was laying there. And the reason they know what happened is because there was a young boy that was shot next to her laying down. But she was fake playing dead. He was fake playing dead because he didn't want to get shot again. Same thing happened in Virginia Tech. I met a kid that goes there. Same thing happened. Is Cho would come back into the classrooms and shoot people up. Because many times with a 9mm, you don't die with the first bullet wound. Most people at Virginia Tech had 3 to 4 bullet wounds, okay, to kill them. He would come back in the rooms that he had already been in and started shooting people up that were laying down. But people would fake playing dead so they wouldn't what? Get shot again. And that's how some people survived it. You know what's interesting, folks? A lot of us are fake playing Christian, are we not? We're fake playing this game. We've got just enough Jesus, we think, to go to heaven when we die, but not enough Jesus to radically transform this man's life, your life, and then every life we come in contact from that point. Folks, we got to stop fake playing this. And Eric Harris came out of the building, came back out, and he reached down, and he grabbed Rachel by the back of her neck, her hair, and pulled her head up and looked at her and said, Rachel, do you still believe in your Jesus? Turned her over, executed her in the back of the head. She was shot 9 different times, 17-year-old, 90-pound little senior girl at her high school. Bold witness for Jesus Christ, loved Jesus Christ, told everybody about Jesus Christ, wrote in her journal, she said, if I have to go to school every single day and stand up for my best friend, what's his name? Jesus Christ. And she wrote, and I lose all my other friends, he is worth it. See, that's someone who knows that time is short, okay, and understands the time. Watch where we go. That salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Walk away from the things of the world that are holding you back, young people and adults. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and not, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Know the time. We're running out of time. We must be bold and make this stand. This summer, I was speaking in Panama City Beach, Florida, to 1,000 teenagers from this one church. It was one youth group. It was a pretty big church. And so we trained them how to share their faith. 1,000 people, Panama City Beach. So once you learn how to share your faith, where do we go to witness at? Why not right to the beach, okay? We would walk the beach and witness. We would walk the streets at night. Man, it was a fascinating week of life. Unbelievable, the people God brought to us. Watch what happened. I'm standing there talking with 8 teenagers from Tennessee. They were down on their senior trip. So we're talking, and I'm witnessing. So we're having a great give and take and stuff. Well, there's some of those chaise lounge chairs behind us, and these chaise lounge chairs are sitting there. And there's some people sitting there. Well, all of a sudden, there's a guy sitting there, and all of a sudden, he starts listening to what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, he sits up. He's paying attention to what I'm telling these kids about. All of a sudden, he covers the sun with his eyes. All of a sudden, he starts covering his ear. He's fidgeting in his chair. I finished with the kids. They wanted some books. So I gave them some books, talked to them. Then I walk back to this man. I walk back over there. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, can I help you? He said, yeah. He said, I want your book, One Heartbeat Away. He heard me describing it to the kids. I said, why do you want that book? So he tapped the seat next to him, and his wife moved her legs, and I sat down on her seat. So I sat there. So we start talking. I said, where are you from? They said, Atlanta. I said, what part? They said, Lawrenceville. I said, what school district? They said, Brookwood High School. I said, wait a minute. I said, aren't you the high school that just had the star quarterback die in a drunk driving accident? The mother looked at me and said, this is my daughter, Stephanie. She was that young man's girlfriend. I'm like, no. She said, let me tell you what happened. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, on that Saturday evening, mom was sleeping, and the Holy Spirit woke her up. Listen to me, folks. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks, do you need to pay attention? Yes or no? Pay attention. He's speaking to some of you today. He's speaking to some of you today that you're never going to be the same again. Because you're going to walk out of here and not care what anybody else thinks about you, except you're going to care just what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about you. And there's freedom in that. Trust me, there's a lot of freedom in that. The Holy Spirit woke her up and said to her heart, go pick up your daughter. Mama got in a car, drove to a high school party. Can you picture this, moms and dads? Can you picture this, kids? Mama driving to your party, okay? Drove to the party, parked the car, walked in the party. How would you feel at this moment, young people, as mama walked into your party, okay? Walked up to her daughter and said, Stephanie, she said, I'm driving you home tonight. You're coming home with me tonight. Stephanie said to her mother, what'd she say? If mom says something to you young people, there's only one proper response. What's that proper response? It's yes, ma'am. That's all you say. There's not really other options, just in case you're wondering, okay? It's yes, ma'am. She looked at her and said, yes, ma'am. She looked at that 17-year-old boy, Daniel, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Come home with me tonight. Daniel said what? No. Second time she looked at that boy, Daniel, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Come home with me tonight. Daniel said no. 3 times she looked at that boy and said, Daniel, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Daniel, come home with me tonight. Daniel said no. She said, okay, got her daughter, got out there and left. That young man got drunk, got in a car, got out of there, one car accident, off the road, way off the road, hit a tree. That 17-year-old boy walked off into eternity that evening. Mother looks at me and says, Mark, she said, my 15-year-old son died in a drunk driving accident 2 years ago. Someone killed her son in a drunk driving. She said, I have lost 2 young men so close to me. She said, how do you deal with the pain? How do you deal with the pain? Strong, loving Jesus Christ family. But it's one thing to theologically have an answer. It's another thing to walk through when you have. Is that correct? It's a whole different world when you got to walk through it. All fascinating. You know what? But if we wouldn't have hit the streets and we wouldn't have got out there and started talking to people on that beach, and so I would have missed out on meeting this family. We've kept in touch a little bit and stuff, but I got a chance to bless them. All right? But all because we have a mindset. We must be standing up and standing out and getting out in this world. Can't wait for these conferences to come to an end, okay, and make our stand for Jesus Christ and do that, all right? I've written a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Can anyone think of the one thing you can't do in heaven? The one thing, young people, you will never be able to do in heaven is share your faith with a lost person, a non-believer. Because why? Not going to be there. So if you're ever going to reach him, you got to reach him where? Here and when? Now. And that's what this book is. It's you people have heard me before. It's all the basic teachings. How do you break through the fear of rejection? How do you get into conversation? There's a whole chapter on just different questions to ask people and witness to people. And then it's just full of stories, people I witnessed to. From eyes up here, please. I'm not even close to being done, so don't worry about it. And full of stories, people I witnessed to. In this book, I got a chance to witness to atheists. I got to witness to Satanists. I got to witness to Charles Barkley's in this book. Alex Rodriguez is in this book. Michael Jordan's in this book. All right. Why? Because I met them. When I meet people like that, I don't have time to ask for your autograph. I don't need your autograph. Okay? This whole world's going to burn up by fire, according to 2 Peter 3. I don't need your autograph. I need to find out if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life is what I need to find out. And if it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, I need to give you the best piece of information you've ever had in your entire life. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for you. Okay? This book, we have youth groups that are taking their whole youth group through this book. Youth leaders, there's a study guide that goes with the book. It's a free one. You can download for free off the internet and take your whole youth group through. We have whole churches going through this book. I know a 17-year-old boy who took his FCA, got everyone a book, took his whole FCA group through the book, and then began to reach out, and his whole goal was to take his high school for Jesus Christ. All began with one 17-year-old boy who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and didn't care what anybody thought about it. He said, I'm not wasting my senior year. I'm standing up bold for my senior year, okay? Where's the youth group from Thomasville, Russell Wright's youth group? Where are you folks at, okay? Raise your hands up nice. I'll stand up real quick. We'll just make you stand up, get some exercise, okay? This youth group here, I spoke down at their church down in, was it Countryville? Was it? Thomasville, it was country, and it was great though. I had a good time. Okay, sit down. And spoke at their church, and I told them the story of this one youth group that literally put up poster board all along the wall in their youth building. They listed every single teacher at their public high school, a separate sheet for the administration, every student under every teacher, and literally this one youth group witnessed to every single person in their high school in a 3-month period. 100% of the people had a one-on-one conversation about Jesus Christ. 100%. I shared that story with this youth group here. Russell, the youth pastor, got a hold of me. They do that at their youth group. You ready for this? Youth, every single year they do that. Russell told me the goal is every senior who walks across the stage at graduation, every senior will have at least heard the gospel 4 different times by the time they graduate that year from someone in his youth group. Is that a great idea or what? Oh my gosh, I was blown away when I heard this story from Russell, because they went through these books, they learned this, and it's bingo, they're just obeying the Lord, stepping out and going for that, and not caring what anybody else thinks about them and doing that. A couple years ago, I was up here, and a youth group, almost everyone got this book in the youth group. They were on a bus going home. The bus broke down, okay? Well, they got off the bus, the kids were reading the book on the bus, so they went there, and they just sat on the curb, they went back in, got their books, they started reading the books on the curb. The youth pastor emailed me, told me the story. They're like, all right, we can do this. They went back on the bus, put their books back on the bus, walked over Taco Bell, witnessed to every single person in the Taco Bell. Okay? The bus was totally messed up. It broke something really bad. So they had to go back to the hotel they were staying in. They go back to the hotel. They're in the hotel for an hour. The youth pastor's wife gets a phone call from the manager. We have a problem. And she was like, what's the problem? She said, the kids from your youth group are sharing Jesus Christ with everybody at the hotel. Excuse me, is that a problem? Youth leaders, is that a problem? That was probably one of the best compliments you'll ever get in your entire life. You want to know what happened? It was only one situation, and this is what happened. 2 young men got on the elevator at the hotel, and they just stayed on the elevator. People get on the elevator, hey, what floor are you going to? And they said, oh, great. And they punch the floor for them. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? Hey, can we ask you a question? If you died tonight, are you 100%? And these boys just rode the elevator for like an hour, okay? I mean, it was a great story. I loved it, okay? But they just stepped out in obedience and did that. And now they're making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ because of that. Albert Pujols, the baseball player, St. Louis Cardinals, World Series champion a year ago. We became friends. The reason we became friends was he read this book. His wife read this book. They got a hold of me and said, we need to meet. So I was going through St. Louis for something. We met, became friends. He said, I want you to come out this summer and go to a game. I said, only come out there for one thing, if you can promise me one thing. He said, what? He said, if I can witness to Tony La Russa, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. I said, if you do that, I'll come out. He said, okay. Well, he's Albert Pujols. He's an MVP. He put me right in his office at one point. I had a fascinating talk with Tony about life and death, what happens when you die. He came back to my hotel that night. Albert plays first base. I said, Albert, you know what you should do, Albert? He said, what? I said, why don't you witness the people who come to first base? I said, Albert, they can't go anywhere. They're standing right there. I said, all they can do is steal. And I said, you can say thou shalt not steal. I said, you can say it right to them. They can't go anywhere. So I challenged him on that. The next morning, he drove me to the airport. He said, I'm going to take you up on that challenge. What? He said, witness people come to first base. I was like, no, seriously. He said, yeah. I said, Albert, I'm going to promise you something. He said, what? I said, Albert, the hardest person you will witness to every single night at a baseball game, the hardest person you will witness to today when you go out to the car park, wherever you're going today, okay? The hardest person at a restaurant, the hardest person I'll witness to today at a gas station. It's the same person every day. Who's the hardest person every day? It's always the first one. Because once you get the first one out, number two is even, number three, by number four, you're chasing them down the mall. Hey, get over here. I want to talk with you. And because you get excited all of a sudden, okay? And you want to keep that going. It's such a joy when you serve the Lord. A friend of mine says, every time I go witness, he said, I'm dragging my feet. He said, every time I come back, I'm clicking my heels, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I was obeying what the Bible said to do. And he's just joyful, okay? Albert called me up 3 days later. He said, man, I tried it. I said, what? He said, I witnessed the 5 people one night at a baseball game who came to first base. He said, I could see the people in the dugout chatting with each other in the dugout once they went back to the dugout. He said, I know they were talking about me. But see, he decided he's not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then what he does is the next day, he goes back to the other team's locker. The brothers in the Lord he meets, he gives them one thing you can't do in heaven. The lost guys he meets, he gives them one heartbeat away. And so he goes into the other team's locker room and actually gives them books that they can read in the locker room on their trips. Isn't that a great idea? Great idea, because he has a mindset to dare to be different, okay? So when you walk out today, there's a table out there with books on it. I dare to be different. I don't charge for these books. The books are just by donation only. So you take what you want, you pay what you want. That's how I run the ministry and all that. So this book is $13 in the bookstore. If you want to give $13 for it, great. If you don't have that much, you want to give less, that's between you and the Lord. I don't worry about this stuff, okay? If you want to give more to help me do what I do around the country, great. There's an address here you can send in money in later if you want to take it today and send it in a week or so now or whatever, that's fine. I go this far. If you pay your tithes and pay your bills, is that the correct order? That's the correct order. Tithes for God's money is first, Mark's money second. Men, God's money is first, Mark's money second. Don't get that out of order, man. If you get that out of order, anybody, your life gets out of order. When I finally got that in order, okay, my life began to order up nice and simple at that point, okay? Very simple thing. And when I finally realized, and now it's so much more fun, it's more blessed to give than receive anyways once you really get to understand all this, okay? If you pay your tithes and pay your bills and you don't have any extra money and you want this book, if there's a financial reason and you want this book and you don't have the money, you can take it for free off the table, okay? Only stipulation is you have to read it. It's the only stipulation I put on that, okay? You can go through this book in 3 or 4 hours. Real easy to read. I knew Auburn graduates were going to read it, so I made it real simple. I didn't want any excuses from those people, and I played basketball there way back. And so you can take it if there's a financial reason, but read it, but then put it down and then go do something with it. Is that right? That's the key, okay? Now, how many people have lost people you're trying to reach? People who don't know the Lord you're trying to reach. Okay, let's try that again. If you're a born-again Christian, how many have lost people you're trying to reach for Jesus Christ? Should be every one of us, correct? Every one of us, okay? That's where we wrote the book, One Heartbeat Away, specifically geared for lost people. Now, Christians love the book because you love all the evidence in this book. How do you prove there's a God? How do you prove the Bible true? What's the Bible say about heaven or hell? How do you know the cross is the resurrection, okay? We've had both, but we wrote this specifically for lost people. We've had atheists read this, become born again. Muslims read it, become born again. Catholics read it, become born again. Prisoners read it, become born again. We hear from soldiers all the time in Iraq, Baghdad, reading this book. Doesn't One Heartbeat Away makes sense to a soldier? Yes, it does. But in this book, we got a chance to witness to atheists. We got to witness to Vanilla Ice is in this book. Magic Johnson's in this book. Tiger Woods is in this book. Why? I met them before. And if I meet you, I want to ask you some questions. And most of those people really appreciate it because most people are trying to take something from them. Hey, can I have an autograph? Hey, can I have a golf ball? Can I have a card? Can I have a signed bat? Instead of taking, why don't we what? Give. See, I give you information about God. I do it in a loving Christ-like way, okay? And bless you with it. And then watch what the Lord does with that, okay? Then I give him a book or something at the end. Real simple. Just this week, I got an email from a guy who got caught in adultery. His wife caught him in adultery. She caught him in November. He went to a church to visit with a pastor. The pastor said, I want you to read this book, One Heartbeat Away. The guy emailed me and said, this is the strangest request I've ever had in my life. What do you mean, read this book? He began to read the book. He said in there he hadn't gone to church in 4 years, hadn't read a Bible in 4 years, none of this stuff. He said he read this book. He said everything became clear at that moment. He said he now understands repentance. He now understands to get right with his sin. Because when you sin against who? God first, Psalm 51, people second. Don't ever forget that. You offend God with your sin. Mark Cahill's sin offends God because he's holy and I'm not. We have a problem. Okay? And the person is secondary, okay? He said this cleared up everything for him, okay? He now knows he's going to serve Jesus Christ. And he just emailed me that. He works for FedEx in Memphis, and he just emailed all that to me this week. I had a 17-year-old boy just email me. He read this book, and he emailed me and said, I now know I'm forgiven. It was all clear to that kid at that point and did that, okay? Think about that. I had a lady get a hold of me. There's a whole chapter on evolution in this book. She gave this to a guy who had a heart attack. Well, he's thinking about life and her death. He started reading the book. He looked at her the other day and said, evolution? He said, no way. He said, no way. One chapter, he knew evolution was not true. We have high school kids writing papers out of this one chapter because it gives you all the simple, basic evidence to show you God must be the creator, and did that. I had a Buddhist prisoner come up to me in a prison. I was speaking in a women's prison. That was kind of fun. And it was an interesting place. I was preaching there. This Buddhist prisoner walked to me. She said, excuse me, are you Mark Hale? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm a Buddhist. I was like, okay. She said, until 2 months ago. I said, what happened? She said, I got a hold of your book, One Heartbeat Away. I read that book. I became a born-again Christian. I have been radically, boldly serving the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 2 months. She said, thank you so much for writing that book. You heard of Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian? He called me a few months ago. I said, Mark Hale, it's Jeff Foxworthy. He said, I need 20 copies of your book, One Heartbeat Away. I have 20 specific friends I have to give this book to. Here's my number. Here's my address. Please get a hold of me. We're getting people buying these for all the people in their employees, all their family members, because there's something about this book, the way God put it together, is just lost. People are eating it up, okay? So that book's for you as you walk out. Again, just donation only on it. If you're not born again or saved, this is my gift to you. If you're not saved, you walk out, you take it right off the table free, read it and enjoy the information, but make a decision because that's your choice. Your parents can't make your decision for Christ, can they? Can't make that decision. It's your choice. Get the information first. Find out if this is true. Find out, okay, because you have a one-on-one meeting with God coming up. That's what I was talking to Leland, those guys back there after the show. They asked me to pray for them. One thing I told them was when you folks die, Leland the band doesn't stand in front of God. I said, Mr. Drummer, Mike was his name. I said, his brother Jack. I said, Leland. I said, each individual stands in front of God. You better make sure your life is lined up and ready to go when you take that last breath and do that, okay? So that's there for you. Also, if you like to listen, or the people who you're trying to reach, your listeners, I have both books on MP3 for you back there. Albert Pujols likes to give the MP3 to his teammates. They put on their iPods. They listen when they work out. Then he'll start asking questions. Hey, what did you think about that chapter? I'm proving there's a God and stuff like that. And they got that simple stuff, and all of a sudden, it began to hit them very hard, okay? And he's starting to make a difference. So those are there for you there. And we need to stand up and start planting a lot of seeds. Is that right? Being bold to do that, okay? All right, very last thing. Nice and quiet. Stand up for me real quick. Nice and quiet. This is how sad Christianity has become in 2007 and about to be in 2008. When a sinful, despicable, wretched man who loves the world, wrapped in flesh, Romans 7. So many times I'm a friend of the world. My Bible says friendship with the world is enmity, hatred towards God. Too many times my flesh is this battle wages on me, wants to go do all this worldly junk that he died for. Okay? A sinful man says, stand up. And what everybody do? Stood up. Yet the holy, righteous, pure Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what we say? We say, no, thank you. No, thank you. Listen to me, in the days to come, stop following sinful men. Because sinful men can deceive you, is that correct? Sinful men can deceive you and mislead you. The Lord Jesus Christ shall never do that, never has, never will, and never shall for all of eternity. Obey when he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Last simple statement. Life is so simple. Keep it simple. You are either, as an individual, every one of you, you are either a missionary or you're a mission field. One of the two. Every one of you in this room, you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. One of the two. Life is simple. If you're not a missionary, that means you need to get born again and saved. Or there is some sin in your life that you need to repent of, put underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, and make that bold stand again. Okay? Everyone in this room, when you look in the mirror today, when you walk out and go to lunch, everywhere you go, remind yourself, I am either a missionary reaching people for Jesus Christ, or I'm a mission field. Someone needs to talk with me. Oh, by the way, can Satan handle 1,200 missionaries walking out this door? Can he handle it? 1,000 missionaries? By the way, if only 4% of you only keep your faith as adults, he can't handle that either. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a missionary all the days of your life. Father, thank you so much for these young people. Father God, we thank you so much just that they're here. I never went to one Christian event in all my high school years, and never did I ever get invited anyways. Never invited to a youth group, never invited to a church. No one handed me a Bible, never. But I thank God you sent 4 people to me at Auburn University that cared about my soul, to give me a Bible, to tell me the truth. And my life has never been the same again. Father, I ask you to set up divine appointments for these adults, divine appointments for these young people, Father God, starting this afternoon, that they step out in faith. They will not be ashamed, Father God. Father, to the young people already thinking about walking away from this because they want the world. They want that girl. They want that guy. They want that fame. Holy Spirit, bring that conviction. As all it is a dead-end street. And that lust leads to sin. And if we continue in that sin, it leads to death. Father, convince them they can be righteous, bold, holy. Albert Pujols told me to tell these people to be pure, to be righteous, and to make a bold stand at these young years, Father God. As we see these radical 13, 14-year-old servants of yours, Father God, seniors in high school training up people to share their faith. The one senior girl that witnessed to every single person in her senior class because she was going to be different. She was not going to be ashamed. Holy Spirit, make sure us as adults who work with these kids, these youth pastors and parents, we're not ashamed. And the kids see that, and we go off and do that, and trips anymore just aren't going to amusement parks. We go to amusement parks to witness to everybody in that place because we're missionaries, Father God, to serve you in the coming days. Father God, get these young ones to stand up and stand out in the coming days, all for your glory and your honor. We thank you so much for it. We ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, everyone stay standing for me, nice and quiet.